The following program has been provided by the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project. For more information, call 1-800-735-0230 or log on to pacificaradioarchives.org.
Let me just say a few words first. In the action last night, I just got a report from some people on the medical committee that there were 40 people who were so seriously injured that they might have died if they hadn't received medical attention. 14, at least 14 reporters on Chicago and national newspapers were injured by the police last night, some very seriously. A number of them were hospitalized, some of them had broken limbs, and many of them had broken cameras. I myself spoke to somebody who was attacked by police shouting, "Get the photographer, get the photographer." There are a couple of rumors that are current now that may or may not come out in this material that I'm going to transmit now. Rumors that the Hells Angels are in town, and that they're going to help the Yippies, and rumors that a Chicago gang, probably the Blackstone Rangers, have said that they like what the Yippies are doing and they want to help. The first piece is, you'll probably recognize the voice of Phil Oakes as he exchanges semi-hostile jollity with Jerry Rubin.
You're on VAI now. You've been charged with being called. You've been called Bloodbath Reuben. Now, is it true you're trying to manipulate me now? Trying to get a crowd around?
You're so easy to manipulate. It's beautiful.
You're just a naive
16-year-old.
Reuben, you're leading
man,
people.
Just
to
found
death
a guitar, and it's just beautiful. How easy it is to manipulate.
You're just a media freak.
I wish everyone was.
All
so,
you want to do is get your name in the paper.
14-year-old dyslexia.
You're just a fame freak, just like everybody else, a fame freak. I've already signed my life story over to Harper and Row. How I.
There he is,
manipulated Phil Oakes.
Bloodbath Reuben, right in the spot, right here, right before the blood starts to flow. And any comments?
Or Gene.
What happened?
Here's Gene.
Hi, Gene. You met Bloodbath Reuben? Gene.
Troops marching in the distance. Not me, man. I about war in Vietnam. Thing that's brought us here all together for the amusement of the police. The pilot's playing poker in the cockpit of the plane. Casualties are rising, lights dropping of the rain. And the mountain of machinery will fall before a man. When your white boots marching in a yellow land, it's written in the ash. You got Hitler at first.
Yes, but it was just because I was at the wrong place at the right time, and the police didn't really give me any brutality. It was just a matter of trying to grab me, and I got knocked down and scratched on the forehead. They put me in a squad car and took me to a paddy wagon, and when I got to the paddy wagon, the officer asked me what I'd done, and I told him nothing, and he told me to take off.
The contract is broken. There is no more America as we know it. There's no more taxes. There's no more army. That's all over. In your minds, I hope. Time to set up into the new world, which may be jail, or maybe the graveyard, but it'll be better than this one. Here's a song I'll dedicate to Mayor Daley. and Hubert Horatio Hogg.
Oh, I march to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British War. A young land started growing, young blood started flowing, but I ain't marching anymore. For I killed my servants in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big farm.
Just want to say one thing. I hope the actions that follow, I hope everybody, along with their militancy, maintains a sense of dignity. I was out in the streets Monday night, wasn't out there last night, but I have to say that I'm not very comfortable seeing people calling the cops names to their clubs and their faces at this point. I think it's just dangerous. I think the point is that the streets are free and that that the Democratic Party is not going to get away with their assassination of democracy itself, which they're trying to do. And I just think it's important to have a sense of dignity when you go into the streets. If they are your streets, you know, I believe you should handle them with dignity. The key word here, I'd like to see some townspeople in Chicago get involved with this. I think it's possible at some point that they may break. The media's broken. There's people around the country that are broken. And I don't think the police and their vulgarity should be matched by us and our vulgarity. I think at this point, you know, there's going to come a time later when it'll get down to more serious business than this. But considering the confrontation, I think everybody should try to be gentlemen, if that word still exists. I think some people want to make a statement. Abby wants to make a statement. Whoever wants to make a statement, can make a statement.
Reconvene the workshop called Self-Assistance that we held over there. Because we didn't have the booklets that I was talking about, and a lot of people might not have believed it when I gave them Hubert Humphrey's credit card number and Deputy Mayor Saul's home number and all those other numbers and told them how to survive and live by keeping their cool in Chicago. So I'm going to pass these around. This is what it looks like, and we want to get a national thing, and it's all written out in case you didn't take notes. Can you pass them around? Okay, just spread them out. Now, I want to make two announcements. First is that for the past 4 months, I've been hearing about a very large gang in Chicago that was doing some very groovy things and really had their thing together and never knew really how to... No, don't throw them, man. What are you, consumer? Hey, they'll come around. They'll go around. Now, this gang had always been kind of interested that they'd done some interesting things here in Chicago. And last night I heard that they were looking for me. So I went down to this meeting place that we were supposed to meet, but they didn't show up. But when I heard that they were looking for me, I already knew the information I needed. They were with us. So today, this guy came up to me about 4 hours ago over in the park over here and said, I've been looking for you. And I said, yeah, I've been looking for you. And he said, let's go over here and sit down. And he said, I said, I already know it, man. You're with us. He said, yeah. I said, what do you need? He said, I don't need nothing. I said, how many people you got? He said, all I need. I said, where are you going to do your thing? In the South Side? He said, no. We like what you're doing up here in Lincoln Park. We'll be up here tonight doing it with you. So they're all going to be coming up here tonight. Now, in case you don't believe that, a lot of people have asked about what we're going to do in case it rains. And I've been laying out all the shit that I have that's been going out. Now, I don't know if you can see it from here, but... the police are in the Lincoln Arts and Culture Center. You know, we already have, everybody knows that. Now, right across from there is an address, if you want to take it down, called 2100 North Lincoln Street. Now, it's a very interesting address. See, about 4 years ago, there was this millionaire landlord cat. And this is the Gold Coast area of Chicago. You got to take that in mind. Like, this is the most exclusive area. And this guy built this huge apartment house, vast apartment house, and then he went bankrupt. And, like, for 4 years, nothing happened with that building. And about a week ago, there's a little board in the back, and you can go in through the cell, and I went in, checked the whole thing out. I couldn't figure out the electrical thing, but it's got all kind of modern conveniences. There's a little chain on the door, and I think it would hold about 50,000 people. Of course, you've got to be into good strategy, because maybe that's what they want us to do, because we'll be all inside. But in case it rains, or in case we'd like to take it over and, like, give it to some people on the south side, you know, after we leave, it's right up there. If you don't believe it, you can go up and look at that building at 2100 North Lincoln, and you will laugh your ass off. Because it is up there, free and clear, free rent. Now, I had to work out a little escape route tonight because, like, I had a lot of heavy threats, and so I don't think you'll see me again. I'll be out here in Lincoln Park, though, sleeping, and tomorrow I'll be here, you know, getting ready with everybody else to go downtown and to go out to the amphitheater. I don't know if I'll be on the march, but I'm going to be inside up there pulling Hubert's pants down when he gets nominated. And you don't believe that, look at 2100 North Lincoln and think about it.
That was Abby Hoffman of New York. The book that Abby passed out is called Beat the System. And inside it says, take what you want, take what you need. There's plenty to go around. Everything is free. And it's signed George Metesky. George Metesky, New York's Mad Bomber, is the patron saint of the diggers. And the table of contents lists free food, welfare, free clothes, free lawyers, free flowers, free furniture, free transportation, free phone calls, free money, free gas, free land, free buffalo, free medical help, emergency numbers, free drugs, free security, free birth control information, free information, general, free rent, free beaches, free college, free theater, free movies, free music, free museums, free poetry, free swimming pools, free pets, draft resistance, free cars, clap section, cop section, dope tips and bad trips, communes. And there's also a listing for free radio, and it lists WBAI. Just as a sample, free security. For this trick, you need some money to begin with. Deposit in the bank and return in a few weeks telling you lost your bank book. Then give you a card and fill out. They give you a card to fill out and sign, and in a week you receive another. Now withdraw your money, leaving you with your original money in a bank book showing a balance. You can use this as identification to prevent vagrancy, bust while traveling, and as collateral for bail, or as opening a charge account at a store. Abby has another announcement.
And anybody who tells people what they have to do, or who knows the whole secret of what's going on in Chicago, is absolutely full of shit. And I saw this scene where there was this, academic guy, revolutionist, who had a PhD. He was telling a 15-year-old kid who had hitchhiked here from San Francisco on $2, he was telling that kid what he had to do. And that kid was just shucking and jiving and smiling, see? And now some group of people come in and say, we got to do this. The guy that tells you got to do that, you just take care of him because he's a cop. You can do whatever you want. A hippie is somebody who never asks what's going on. He never asks what's going on. They're in the mob. The yippies are like doing it. All right, the mob are good too. Yeah, they're all good. Blue helmets, you know, and blue shirts and dark blue pants. I saw a cat out here at the barricades last night saying that there were 50,000 cops coming in, and they sort of looked like trees. You know, I said, hey, man, you can see them. They all dress that way, you know, and they come in large numbers when they come. And you can see them, and you believe your eyes. And if you're on that honey, well, you have some doubts about your eyes, you know. But, like, you trust your eyes and not what you hear. Because, well, you know, you've been hearing a lot of things. We already know about the B-52s coming over dropping napalm. We know that. You're on our team.
This seems to be a workshop in snake dancing, which is a technique that the Japanese Zenga Koran used in the park with all the other yippies of Lyndon Morris at mobilization.
So?
Oh, what's happening, Linda?
People are just standing around, and there's a lot of confusion as to whether we're going to do one of three things. First of all, whether Bobby Seale and Hilliard from the Panthers are coming here for a rally, or whether we're going to march downtown and meet them in Grant Park for a rally, or whether they're going to be at the Coliseum later on for LBJ's birthday party. So people are just kind of milling around, enjoying the sun, relaxing, you know, pointing out police stinks and having other good games like that.
Most of what I've heard is that people are going to go to Grant Park.
That's going around a lot. It'll just depend mostly on the mood of the crowd, I think, and if people start moving out, whether others start following them. A lot of this has been kind of anarchistic, which is great, you know.
What do you, how effective do you think the workshops in snake dancing are going to be? I've seen a lot of workshops. I haven't seen that used at all.
Well, I don't think it's a position to be used, frankly. You know, I think it's great for building camaraderie and a feeling of solidarity, but I would not want to be on one of these particular snake dances charging into a wall of cops because we're just not good enough yet. You know, we need people wrapped up in front with shields and helmets, and we need, you know, continuous practice week after week for hours each day with a set group of people. What's been happening here is that there's like an hour's worth of practice each afternoon, and the group practicing changes every afternoon, so it's not really going to be used as far as I can see, or people get massacred. We got to get disciplined like the Zenga Koran in Japan.
Have you been in the park at night?
Yeah.
What do you make of what's been happening?
Well, things have been kind of escalating. I was here Sunday night, and the cops kind of swept the park through, and one group of us ran downtown, got stopped on the bridge into the loop, and came back up in twos and threes, and then, you know, there was a confrontation with the police. That was relatively a, you know, minor confrontation. However, last night, people built barricades across where the cops were going to come from, and there was a lot of rock throwing and bottle throwing and stuff like that at the cops, and the cops used tear gas. Most of the rock throwing and bottle throwing occurred after the cops used the tear gas to flush us out of the park. People are pretty pissed off today, so I don't know what's going to happen tonight. You know, a lot of people got gassed, a lot of people got busted, a lot of people got badly beaten, you know, last night.
Have you had any kind of, you picked up any kind of reaction from the reporters who were, I think the reporters are getting annoyed about themselves being picked out and beaten.
Annoyed isn't the word. They're really angry. It's over two things primarily. One is the press censorship, you know, about them not being allowed to take TV cameras certain places, no live coverage of the convention, you know, this kind of stuff. And the second thing is that the cops have been really going after them, not just mistaking them for demonstrators, but literally going after them in a number of cases. And for, you know, good reason. This has resulted in excellent press coverage for us on a much wider scale than we've ever had before.
Yeah, I heard reports that editors were refusing to print stories about the reporters being threatened.
The reporters being threatened to what? By the police? Every paper I've seen has had the stories in, you know, right up prominently. And the papers in Chicago have been making a great big deal out of it, and so have
I. Well, what I mean to say is this has been going on for a few days, and yesterday was the first story.
No, I saw some mentions of it before, you know. Yesterday, today, there was, you know, front page and, you know, good inside coverage on all of it. I haven't seen any refusal to be printed. I don't know anything about it, you know. And none of the reporters that I've talked to. I mean, CBS had that nationwide TV thing comparing Chicago with Czechoslovakia in terms of police state, you know. And that was a couple of nights ago. And, you know, all of the reporters are really angry at what's happening, you know, and they're covering it.
How do you feel what's been happening here compares to what happened during the Stop the Draft week?
Much, much better. You know, people are much more together. You know, and, you know, there's no kind of set leadership or anything like that. You know, everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and people are, you know, gaining their own experience in mobile street tactics. And the marshals have a good kind of, you know, we'll help you do your own thing policy, you know, defensive marshaling rather than containment type marshaling, which I think is very, very good. You know, the comparison is great.
Thanks very much for that.
Okay.
treat the students and snake dancing. And when the students go out in the street, the riot police come and sandwich.
Tokyo, and I just finished asking him about the snake dance tactics that the kids were using, and you were telling me about how the tactics differ from the tactics that are used by the students in Tokyo.
I didn't get the question well. I think it's in a terms of using tactics of snake dancing. I think American students have backwards and underdeveloped. But I think they're just catching up and learn something. But the police are not learning well. And I think it's this kind of society, that both police and the students should learn together and play your game well. But I think it's Chicago police not well prepared to meet the snake dancing well, you know.
You had a prediction of how they would meet it if it happened.
Oh, I think police will sometime may panic to see the strange tactics. So I don't know. They are taking pictures and learning something. You know, using I think it's armies. And I read in paper that the armies are sending a signal corps and take the snake dancing practice. And learn their tactics. So I think it's army may meet the situation, but Chicago police, I think it's not well equipped for the situation. But they will probably, as happened yesterday, smash their heads. And I saw something about that, and that's very bad.
They've been attacking reporters too.
Yes, I saw them, and. Strange things, the police, I marched with the students yesterday afternoon to Conrad Hilton. And the police is really, the patrolmen, I don't know, it's hard to distinguish between the sugar chopping police and the ordinary police, you know. And the sugar chopping one say that they arrest him, and the ordinary police don't know who is him. And so that poked at the stick into the stomach of the students, him or him, and picked the best one.
They seem interchangeable to the police. Thank you very much. There's a tree in the center of the park that seems to serve as an information tree. There are various clippings from the newspaper that are put up on the tree and notices of various of the scheduled events. One here says, come to LBJ's unbirthday party, August 27th, 11 a.m. to midnight, at the Coliseum, 1513 South Wabash. And it says there's a $1 donation. Tomorrow is Tolstoy's birthday.
When I get in, a few of the things.
General Wastemore.
When I get in, offhand. First of all, I'm going to trade the Cold War in for a hot piece. Second.
That's good.
No.
That's good.
After that.
That's good.
That's right.
Okay, that's good. That's
along with that, I'll be returning these dominoes to Secretary of Estate Dean Rush, telling him his theory collapsed. I'll be kicking him out at that time. And I'm going to replace General Hershey with General Hershey Barr.
Yay! All right! All right!
On the Pentagon. Don't forget, General Hershey Barr is the general with the plain chocolate. At present time, it's the one in Washington, D.C. that has all the nuts in it.
Right.
Also, as part of my campaign platform, I'm going to decentralize the Pentagon. There you go, Sue, you're a three-star general. Everybody that takes one of my draft cards becomes automatically a three-star general.
Oh, I'm a three-star general.
Wait a minute now.
And the general is passing out his draft cards. Let me have one of those.
By the way.
Can I see one of those?
Yeah, sure, here you go.
Thank you.
My,
and it says, select a service system notice of declassification. This is to certify that AWOL GI Hero resistance number 4114461 is declassified in class XYZ until peace is declared by General Waste More Land, unless otherwise checked below, by General Hersey Barr and by President Dr. Spock.
Well, if you ask me, I like you hippies, or whatever it is, I'm all for you. And I hope you have a very nice time here in Chicago. I heard you have difficulties, and I see you have, and it kind of hurts me to see that. I only hope that the police and everything else can get it. You can make them have a little loving, you know, too, and make them a little bit more loving and kinder. When I see them with those darn old helmets there and that nightstick, I get angry. Isn't it? Yes. So, and I wish you could find enjoyment and could find a place where you could make yourself more to home than in Lincoln Park, that they would open up some place for you where you could, you know, be out of the cold and be more comfortable and I just don't go this at all. Please.
Thank you.
That one?
That's the end of the feed. And that last was a little old lady, very typical little old lady, just like you see in the comic strips and in television plays and in the movies. Must have been in her mid-70s, sitting on a park bench with a kind of a scared, warm smile. And I guess that's the end of the transmission for now.